Let's get into the lesson for tonight. We're talking about the body of Christ and contrasting it to the former program, or I don't like the word program, but the doctrine that the Lord used, and the entity that the Lord used, Israel, before he used the body of Christ that we're in, we believers. Let's look back at some of the promises about the kingdom back in Daniel chapter 2. Let's look at verse 44. And we're talking about Christ's pattern to eventually offer salvation to all people and contrasting it with his earlier offer of salvation to Israel and those Gentiles who blessed Israel during Israel's rise could come in also, believing God was working with mankind through Israel, and so they submitted to that at that time. And that way, as we contrast, and we can see the difference and not get mixed up thinking that God is talking about us having to endure to the end to be saved, or us being cast away. All those kind of statements in the Bible have only to do with Israel. Yes, we're responsible. What we sow, that's what we're going to reap. But that's not talking about salvation. There's nothing in that passage there in Galatians about that's talking about salvation. What that is talking about is if you fail to learn the alphabet, for instance, you're gonna reap the results. You're gonna, you know, have a job that you don't need to use the alphabet, such as a ditch digger, something that's not as pleasant or enjoyable or rewarding work as if you did learn the alphabet. And after the Deuteronomy covenant verses that we read earlier in Deuteronomy 11, this verse in Daniel prophesies further that in the days of these kings shall... Now, there were four... Let me restart the verse again and go right through with it. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Believe those words. It'll never be destroyed once it's set up. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. So there you can see that division between Israel and the rest of the world, the other people, the Gentiles. It's going to be Israel's kingdom, not the kingdom of the rest of the world. And in Deuteronomy 30, I think it is, God talks about Israel being the head and the Gentiles being the tail, you know, when they're in their rise. But when they're in their rise, you can't have Gentiles taking over and being the head during the Israel's rise. When they're to be the head, you can't have two heads and no tail. I don't know if you can... that's an illustration that the Lord uses. I didn't make that up, the head and the tail. It's Deuteronomy 30. Most of the chapter goes under that head and tail category or illustration. But the kingdom is going to be Israel's, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, it says, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, forever. That's everlasting. It's another way to put it, everlasting. So once the God of heaven sets up that kingdom, it will stand forever, and it will last forever. Since we know that, you know, the conditions now are not the conditions described for God's kingdom out of heaven on earth, then we know that God has not yet set up that kingdom on earth. It's not here. It is yet coming, though. So, checking the dimensions of the land, which we did a while back, we can easily see that Israel's earthly kingdom is not here yet. Remember Deuteronomy 11:21. I love this verse. It's pretty clear that the day God talking to Israel, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So God will, he's going to bring his kingdom from heaven to earth, and it will be a large area. You will not recognize it as the Israel of today. It'll be much larger than what we see today on the map. God is, you know, that holy nation that he's going to build, going to make out of Israel, is not that tiny strip of land that's over there now. In Exodus 19:6, we read that Israel is going to be a holy nation, and they are certainly not a holy nation that's over there now. They legalize prostitution, they legalize abortion. In fact, they're not a nation at all. They're a United Nations state that was propped up over there by man, not by God. So we're not yet seeing the fulfillment of Israel back in the land. God will gather them, as he says in Ezekiel 36 and 37, among many other places. And all this is good news about the coming kingdom, and it's, you know, when John the Baptist came, he came preaching about this kingdom. It was not veiled. It was not something that, well, what kingdom is he talking about? It was right there in Exodus 19, all those centuries. And they were waiting for a Messiah to lead them in the kingdom. So when he came preaching, you can see that. Well, look at, let's go through some of the verses. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's this repent about? What are they to turn around or change their mind about? Well, they had lost the vision of the kingdom. They'd been going after other gods for a long time. And they needed to change their mind back, just like Paul tries to get them to change their minds back from idols, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Acts 26:18, I think. But what a delightful surprise for those people who had waited and waited and wanted what God had promised, and they heard less and less from God, and then there'd been, 400 years of silence. Then all of a sudden, here comes this funny-dressed man out in the wilderness calling the people to come out of the system, because the long-awaited kingdom coming out of heaven is at hand. It's within grasp, within reach. So that was the gospel, the good news which John the Baptist preached. And it was the same kingdom that had long been prophesied. And finally, it was being preached to Israel that their kingdom was at hand. It was within grasp. It was nearby. It was attainable. Then Jesus also preached Israel's kingdom was at hand. Jesus started preaching about 6 months after John the Baptist. Mary was cousin to Elizabeth. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was cousin to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And look at what Mark 1:14 and 15 says. Now after that John, that's John the Baptist, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And what did it say was the gospel, the good news? The kingdom of God is at hand. that well-known and long-waited-for kingdom is within your grasp. So, that was good news that was being preached. Gospel meaning good news. And that gospel was being preached by John the Baptist, by Jesus, and later by Peter. Peter was even more emphatic. Peter preached that Jesus Christ will actually come back to reign if you all believe. The kingdom out of heaven is actually being offered at that time. Not just that it was nearby, it was attainable. But he said Jesus would come back. That's Acts 3:20. The good news was that the wait was nearly over. And the prophesied kingdom is at hand. And that it was up to them to have faith, to believe, to trust this Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah. If the nation and its leaders had accepted it, Christ would have returned then, after his ascension. Well, that was what Jesus preached. Let's look in Acts 1, verse 3. Just a moment, please. Hold on, please. Acts 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, that was 40 days after he had risen from the grave. So after his resurrection, what was he speaking of? It says things pertaining to the kingdom. Still talking about Israel's kingdom, that former way of people coming to God, that God, he was still preaching it. It was still available. It was still being the way to God. And Jesus preached nothing about believers going to heaven. He announced the plan to populate the land. The land will be taken and filled. God was not derailed. He wasn't caught off guard. Jesus was announcing that the kingdom out of heaven was coming to earth on the land, and that the believers would have everlasting life on the land. That's Israel's program, Israel's doctrine, the teaching that God gave them. And this is what he was preaching about, things pertaining to the kingdom for those 40 days. The kingdom was still available and still being preached. So, Jesus arose from the dead, and 3 days and three nights after his crucifixion, so he was in the ground as he said he would be, or in the grave. And after those 3 days, Jesus spent 40 days with his apostles, speaking of those things pertaining to the kingdom. And then for 43 days, it would be, after his crucifixion, Jesus empowered Israel's apostles. You can see it in Acts 1:8. And then arose into the clouds, and he ascended back to heaven. Acts 1:9. 7 days later was the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, where we read of Peter preaching David's prophecy about Christ. That would be in Acts 2:27 and 28. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. And that cross-references with Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So, 28, verse Acts 2:28 again. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. pardon me. Verses 29 and 30. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So Peter was still preaching the name of Jesus, the identity of Jesus, the facts about Jesus, who Jesus is, which is, it's defined as the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 through 4. Peter still preached about the gospel of God and about this kingdom, that Christ would be the king in the kingdom, on the throne, and it says in other places that throne would be in Jerusalem. And so I'm trying to think where it does say that in Jerusalem. It'll be over there in the land, put it that way, whether in Jerusalem or Zion, or if that's the same, I'm not sure. So, but we know it'll be in the land. Peter is continuing to preach the same thing in early Acts. He's preaching for Israel to believe that they had failed to believe about who Jesus is. Romans 10:8. It's faith that they failed at. The word is faith. And what we want to see is who is being spoken to and what are they being told. So look at Acts 3, starting in verse 13, and we'll go through a few verses here. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, I'm not a descendant of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. So he's talking to Jews here that did descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our fathers hath glorified his Son, Jesus. So that's part of the gospel of God, the sonship of Jesus, that he is God's Son. Hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So there's the resurrection, part of the gospel of God. And through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, or yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, talking about the name of Jesus or his identity, that's what the gospel of God is. It describes who he is. It's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 3, verse 4, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him. So, going back a few verses, what he's talking about here about this perfect soundness has given this man perfect soundness. It would be in Acts 3, verse 4. Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So, but, you know, he was healed. We'll go to Acts 3:17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, and did also your rulers. Just a thought here, Matthew 12:32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You did it through ignorance also, as did also your rulers. So going on to Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. A fulfilled prophecy, the right right before their eyes. They didn't realize it when they were crucifying him, but it happened. And they're being made aware of it now, that he was the Christ, is the Christ, the Son of God, that rose from the dead. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until... He's got to stay there until a certain time, the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets till the since the world began. So that's a clue as to how long before the Lord comes back. Another clue would be that Romans 11:25 verse, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, we don't know when either of those are going to happen, but they are related. I mean, they will be around the same time because they both help determine when the Lord comes back. So, verse 25, Acts 3:25, you are the children of the prophets. Again, I'm not. I don't think anybody here is physically. Maybe there is someone that's a Jew or descended from the prophets, but he's talking to Israel again here. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. There's no doubt there, is it? My father would be who? Scott of England or something? A Scotman? I don't know. I'm not an Israelite though. The covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So there you have the actual kingdom offer, that Christ would have returned to blot out Israel's sins at that time. If they had, you know, if Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they would have repented or changed their mind about who Jesus is what it basically means to believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah risen from the dead. If they would have repented and converted or changed to believe that which they had failed to believe. Same thing, that Jesus is the Christ. So, but did you see what it said there? That Israel's sins will not be blotted out until Christ returns. And that's part of Israel's gospel of the kingdom, which was only spoken to Israel, not to us. That's why they have to have their sins remitted. There's a lot of talk about Israel's sins being remitted, or them receiving remission of sins instead of forgiveness, because it's not there yet. It comes when Christ returns. Not so for us. We get forgiveness the moment that we believe the gospel that applies to us today. The current offer of God for salvation, which is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, to believe that Christ died your death for your sins, and it's not on you anymore. You know that. Believe that. Believing that, you have life. Believe on Christ to life everlasting. So, Israel's gospel of the kingdom was only spoken to Israel according to several places that I can remember in Acts 2:14, Acts 2:22, Acts 2:36, and a fourth place there in Acts 3:25. They all say that it was only being offered to Israel. It was Israel's gospel, not the whole world's gospel. Besides that, it was spoken at the Jewish feast day of Pentecost. Jewish feasts were held in the temple. No Gentiles are allowed in the temple. So again, we see that it was only spoken to Jews. And we can see the scriptural record of Israel rejecting their Messiah. And it was, you know, by rejecting the facts about who Jesus is. they thought he was a fraud. They didn't want to have their power taken away from them. Whatever the cause, they crucified him. Most of them rejected those facts as they were preached to them by Peter early in his ministry. And I've looked at the, you know, I've tried to find where these actually happened. Peter's early ministry and Peter's late ministry, when they heard that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Paul, again, preaches early in his Acts ministry and late in his Acts ministry. Let me just give you the verses if you want to write them down and check them out yourself. Welcome to the room. Peter's early ministry in Acts, he preached about Jesus and his being, well, the gospel of God, his being the Son of God, raised from the dead, their Messiah. Preached it in Acts 3:13-18. That was early in his Acts ministry. Late in Peter's Acts ministry, he preached it in Acts 10, verses 35-42. And people also, you know, they rejected those identifying facts about the name of Jesus when they were preached by Paul early in his ministry in Acts 9, verse 20. Verse 22, verse 27, and verse 29. All in Acts 9 there. Paul preached about Jesus being the Christ. And then, you know, all the way through the book of Acts, he preaches it. When he goes to a synagogue, that's what he preached. He preached the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is. And those that believed that got to meet with Paul, and he taught them the gospel of Christ. And I've just gone through that lesson again, and I'm in the midst of documenting. I found six places where that's shown, and one place where he gave them the gospel of God, and they mocked him for it, and they never got to hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. So that falls right in line with the pattern that he used. But late in Paul's ministry, in his Acts ministry, They still got to hear the gospel of God in Acts 28, verses 22-24, just before they got cast away, blinded and cast away, as they are today, as they were prophesied in Hosea 1:9. So, as we just read there in Acts 3:13-18, Peter preached those facts in Israel's temple, to Israel and Israelites, about who Jesus is. Look especially at verses in Acts 3. Look at verses 13 and 15 and 18. In verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So Acts 13, I think the 13th verse we just read there, it declares, doesn't it say in there that Jesus is the Son of God? The God of our fathers hath glorified his Son Jesus. That identifies Jesus. That's why he's called Jesus. He's the Son of God. Well, he shall save his people from their sins. Go to verse 15, Acts 3:15. Who killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So you can see right there, the resurrection part of the gospel of God is firmly preached. And verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So Christ should suffer. Talking about the Messiahship of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, of whom the Scriptures foretold, the Old Testament Scriptures foretold that he was coming. So far, we've seen that Peter only addresses Israel with Israel's kingdom gospel, and we've seen that Peter preaches the necessity of Israel believing those scriptural facts about who Jesus is. Those scriptural facts about who Jesus is are listed and named elsewhere in the Bible. In, as we mentioned before, it's in Romans 1:1-4. That's the best definition I know of it. It's the best compilation of what it's talking about. When it talks about the name of Jesus, who he really is, this is what he's described as. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he, talking about God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's parenthesis. So, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he is the Son of God, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, there it is again, with power, Jesus Christ, it names him as the Messiah, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So there's the resurrection. He's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's risen from the dead. That's the gospel of God. That's the identity. There's only one person that fits that description, and that's Jesus Christ, and that's his name. That's what they did not believe in. That's why they're preaching to believe the name of Jesus, because that includes those facts. That's his description, his identity. Okay, we'll stop there for today.